Christmas friends, I invite you to stand and to join together in our call to worship. Come, all you who are faithful or fearful, joyful or despairing. Come to Bethlehem once again to behold the baby. Oh, come, let us adore him. We follow in the footsteps of shepherds. We sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest. On this holy night, by candlelight, oh come, let us adore him. And we sing together, oh come, all ye faithful. Friends, Merry Christmas to you all. I invite you to extend a greeting of peace to those who are around you. Normally we say peace be with you, but tonight how about Merry Christmas? I invite you to turn to those who are around you. Well, welcome. Please be seated. I greet you in the name of the one born this night, Jesus, our Emmanuel. May the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ be with you all. Welcome, friends, and Merry Christmas again. It's so good to be together on this night. So wonderful to see you forming this community. Thank you for making this place a part of your tradition this year. My name is Kristen Phillipson. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United Church, and I'm joined in leadership this evening with our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, our organ scholar, Oscar Hodgson. Yes. Shout out from Oscar's family. And our magnificent choir is here among you. On behalf of the congregation here at Rosedale United Church, we warmly welcome you on this Christmas Eve. We are a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the neighborhood and well beyond in our city. And our offering tonight supports the Compassionate Outreach Fund of this congregation, going directly to meet the needs of the most vulnerable in our city. Some notes for this evening. The lines in bold in the program are yours, and you're invited to say them along with us. An asterisk signals when to stand, and we invite you to stay seated unless you see that symbol. Rosedale United Church is proud to be an affirming congregation. We represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds, and everyone is welcome here. And we acknowledge that we live, work, and worship on the traditional lands of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and the Mississaugas of the Credit River. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus once again, we remember everything this birth means for our whole world and all people. Hope, peace, joy, and love. In this moment, I invite you to silence cell phones. A good reminder for us all. As we open our minds, open our spirits, open our hearts, settle our feet, take a breath, and gather in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Long nights and crisp days. Bare branches and the glimpse of falling snow. Here our chilled cheeks are warmed with smiles. Tonight our waiting has ended and all creation can rejoice. For you are here among us, God, in our hearts and our lives as we live with hope and peace and joy and love. You are here. May the light of Christ lighten the shadows of our days. May the joy of this holy time heal us.
Oh, Jesus. A reading from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exultation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forward and forevermore.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you. Please join with me in our next reading. Your words are printed in bold in your bulletin. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing my word. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find that child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill among people."
People, Lord, this Christmas time, come and see.
A reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. I wonder if you can remember the last time you held a very new baby. For some of you, it might have been very recently, even tonight. And for others, like me, it may have been a while. I remember my aunts preparing my brothers and I as children to hold our new baby cousins after they were born. We had to be sitting properly, pillows around us to help prop up our arms. We couldn't be too careful. And I would sit up straight and nervous, and then the swaddled bundle would be placed into my arms, light and alive. A lot of us worry that we won't know what to do when a baby is placed into our arms, but somehow our instincts kick in. We receive them gently as though we are a pillow, and we speak softly, and we marvel at them, our eyes smile, and unconsciously we start to rock side to side, our bodies simulating that most ancient rhythm, a beating heart. My own daughter was just 5 pounds when she was born a month early, too small even for newborn clothing. Do you have a memory of holding a new baby? There is a beautiful poem called Shoulders, and it's by a Palestinian-American poet whose name is Naomi Shihab Nye. And it begins, "A man crosses the street in rain, stepping gently, looking 2 times north and south, because his son is asleep on his shoulder. No car must splash him, no car drive too near to his shadow. This man carries the world's most sensitive cargo." Newborn babies are profoundly dependent. They survive only through connection. And ideally, we adults create for them an environment akin to the womb for at least 9 months after they are born in our arms, and how we listen to them and in our responsiveness. For as much as this world is beautiful and breathtaking and full of resilience, it is also harsh, and a baby alone is no match for it. "The road will only be wide," writes Naomi Shihab Nye, "and the rain will never stop falling." If I were to ask you to conjure a savior for our world, knowing all that people in our world are always up against, what would your savior look like? Most of the time when we humans imagine a savior to protect us against the harshness of the world, they are superheroes, marvels, the most fantastic and incredible people, people powerful and unique ways and cunning. They leap over buildings and scale walls and punch through concrete and dodge bullets. And they are always, always physically exceptional or superhuman in virtue. Only a superhuman marvel could save the world, we reason. But in the Christmas story, the savior that God sends to us is not a strong man, not a superhero, not a marvel, not exceptional, not fantastic, not powerful. In the Christmas story, the savior God sends to us is small and helpless and poor and ordinary. To the shepherds living in the fields, the angel said, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." In English class, my teachers would have called the angel's proclamation a paradox, because it's a statement that contradicts itself, a savior of the world who is a baby. Outside of English class, we just call it absurd, that a baby could be a savior, that a baby could somehow be a match for the violence that is here, and the injustice that is here, and the oppression that is here. You've all held a baby, and they are the smallest of things. And what match is a baby to the harshness of this world? In the King James Version of the Christmas story, it says that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Joseph should be taxed. Mary should be taxed. The emperor decreed that the whole world was to be taxed. Now that is real power and real might. Every year, when I encounter this story, the only image I have for Mary and Joseph are leaves in the wind. They are completely at the whim of life's harsh forces. The emperor decreed that everyone must travel to their hometown to be registered, and so travel they must, no matter that Mary is moments away from giving birth. The emperor says, jump, and so they jump. And what about you? Do you ever feel like a leaf in the wind? For as much as this world is beautiful and breathtaking, it can also be harsh and challenging, and this is just reality, our human condition. And in response, and out of the deepest love, God sends to us not a warrior to protect us or an all-powerful ruler to defend us, but a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. How can a baby possibly save us? What is this story all about? When my youngest son was 6 or 7, his classroom participated in the Roots of Empathy program. And some of you might be familiar with it. It's where a neighborhood parent brings their baby into a school classroom, starting when the baby's around 2 months old. And the classroom visits with this baby once every 3 weeks over the entire school year. And the children are coached to recognize and connect with the vulnerability and the humanity of the baby. And the whole class sits on a mat, and the baby is in the middle, and the kids can pass toys to the baby while the baby explores around. And the children simply observe the baby. And what happens is that they start to learn what the baby is feeling. And gradually, all those little grade 1 and 2 students, they fall in love with that baby. And the Roots of Empathy's mission is to build caring, peaceful, and civil societies through the development of empathy in children and adults. The idea is that the leaders of tomorrow are sitting in the classrooms of today, and they'll need imagination and empathy to be able to identify and solve society's problems. According to Roots of Empathy, saviors may or may not be able to leap over buildings and dodge bullets, but if they have empathy, they can change the world. I asked my now teenaged son what he remembered about the time a baby came to his school classroom. What word comes to mind when you remember that baby, I asked. Joy, he said. And honestly, that's not a word I've ever heard him use before. This is my tough son, my son who is not intimidated by anyone, who could make himself very big and scary if he needed to, who could tower and glower over people if he needed to. He said that baby filled him with joy. And I asked him if he remembered what it felt like to hold that baby. And he did. He recalled it immediately. He said it felt comforting. My teenaged son said this, the one who is growing out of snuggling with me on the couch. It is not surprising to me that God came to be with us not as a warrior or a political leader, but as a baby wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger, for it is not having power or being bigger or having more or being mighty that truly saves or inoculates us from what can be a harsh and challenging world. What the profoundly dependent, what babies teach us, is that the more powerful force is empathy, that caring is monumental, just being with a person and holding them and listening and being responsive. This is the saving grace here on earth. A man crosses the street in the rain, stepping gently, because his son is asleep on his shoulder, Naomi Shihab Nye writes. And what makes us able to live in this world, she concludes, is being willing to do what this man is doing for his son with one another, to carry each other, to help each other across. What we celebrate at Christmas is that God, in God's wisdom, chose to show up among us as a baby. May we remember this the next time we are lucky enough to hold one. And may we find our hearts open to all that they have to teach us. Amen. In seeking Christ at Christmas, we not only want to receive, but we long to give. And our offering tonight supports the Compassionate Outreach Fund of this congregation and goes directly to meet the needs of the vulnerable. Let us pray. We offer to you, loving God, our Christmas gifts. We offer you our worship, our carols, our prayers, and our reflection on your nativity story. May God bless these gifts. We offer you our compassionate concern for those close to us who are going through difficult times. We offer you our readiness to work with others to enrich the life of our families, our communities, our friendships, our world. We offer you our wish to help all who need to know your love. God bless these gifts. Amen. As we stand and sing our final carol, Silent Night, we'll be passing the Christ light throughout the pews, and we invite you to share it with the neighbor next to you. I invite you to stand. Friends, we go now to carry this light out into our world, out into our families. May you be strengthened by the faith of the shepherds. May you share joy like the angels. May you share love like the Christ child. Merry Christmas to all, and we go in peace and in joy.